Time now for the College Basketball Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Eric Church fan, sorry.
With SI's Pat Forty.
Not only that, they decided to do this on the fly with the biggest, most complex cases they've ever had.
Here's Pat and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. Final Four coming up. Men's and women. We're going to get to basketball. Pat, there's a lot of Carolina fans angry at you.
There are. I've never known. I had no idea how much people loved Leaky Black, at least for the last 3 weeks.
Said Leaky Black did not deserve to be a starter. And because of that, they are very angry.
We have outrage.
Yes, he plays defense. We'll get to it, I guess. We can get to it right now. Let's address it right now.
Okay.
I cannot say a bad word about anyone named Leaky Black. It's just too good of a name. That is not his given name, nickname given by his grandmother. Leaky Black reminds me of the great character played by Michael K. Williams, the late Michael K. Williams from The Wire, when he was in Boardwalk Empire. He was kind of like the head of a crime syndicate, and his name was Chalky White.
Chalky White, Leaky Black.
Yeah,
yeah, there's some similarities right there.
I think there was like, so obviously Leaky is 21 years old. So, you know, he was born before, I don't know, is Chalky White a real person? I don't know. I don't know if Chalky White, like, he might be.
I don't know.
Chalky White, Leaky Black. I'm in favor of both.
Chalky so I'm White, on the Leaky Carolina Black, fan. We need Stumpy Brown.
Okay, we're going to get into everything else, but let's defend yourself. Why should Chalky White not be in the lineup? And what the hell do you know?
Clearly, I know nothing because everybody on Twitter told me I know nothing. So, yes, what happened? Somebody transcribed those like two or three sentences from the last pod where I said that Carolina has a tradition, a heritage of having like one guy in the lineup that the coaches love that you're like, why? Why does this guy play that much? And for me with this team, it's Leaky Black. And I was told vociferously over and over that, to my ignorance, Leaky Black apparently is like Michael Jordan on the Dream Team. The defender, the shutdown stopper of all time. And they do need to do a little work getting their story straight because I was told by many people that he shut down A.J. Griffin in Cameron Indoor Stadium. But then I was also told he shut down Paolo Banchero in Cameron Indoor Stadium. So figured out which one he shut down.
That's how good he is. Both.
Yeah, of course.
At the
that
same
good he
is. Damn time.
At the same damn time. Unbelievable.
Leaky covered one. Black covered the other. That's it. There's two guys. Leaky Black.
Yeah.
By the way, Chalky White was based on two different people, but he was mostly based on a boxer that was named Chalky Wright.
Ah, okay.
Okay. All right.
Do love a good composite character.
So maybe, now Leaky would have been very young at the time when Boardwalk Empire was written, but maybe they heard of him somehow and decided to steal the name Leaky Black and turn it into Chalky White.
Maybe. Maybe it's a good Concord, North Carolina nickname. You know, he's from there. I did look that up. But my apologies to the offended Carolina masses for not completely doing my homework. Not so much on Leaky Black, although, yes, okay. Profoundly good defender. People said I had never seen North Carolina play. I watched them at least a half dozen times this year. Didn't see much of anybody playing defense when they were getting blown off the court by Kentucky, Miami, Duke and Chapel Hill, etc. But apparently now he is the greatest stopper since Bobby Jones. Ah, there's a North Carolina name for you. Heels, Bobby Jones, the great defender in the 70s for Dean Smith. But here, the point I should have made more articulately, if we're going to go fact-checking the podcast of all friggin' things, I should actually be correct. But this is, Dan Wetzel, you can verify this. Did Dean Smith not drive you crazy by playing too many guys? I mean, he would constantly, he'd have these teams that were just stacked and loaded, and he's playing, 1993-94 team. Jerry Stackhouse, 21 minutes a game. Rasheed Wallace, 21 minutes a game. Brian Reese, 21 minutes a game. Kevin Salvadori, 21 minutes a game. Dante Calabria, 21 minutes a game. Maybe you should just play Sheed and Stack some more and you would have made the Final Four. They didn't that year. Roy wasn't quite as bad, but Roy had his guys too. 2005-06, Wes Miller, 23 minutes a game. Marcus Guignard, 19 minutes a game. Bobby Fraser. So they got guys playing too many guys. That's the Carolina. That is the point I inarticulately and somewhat erroneously was trying to make. My apologies to Scott Cherry. I threw his name in there. He took it well, though. They dragged him into this on Twitter. Poor Scott Cherry.
All right, look it. Your Twitter beefs and whatever pathetic things happen in your social media life, I don't care. Let me say this. I do give you credit for this. You will argue any ridiculous. I mean, you just took shots at Dean Smith and Roy Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Great coaches.
Won Dean more Smith. Titles.
Dean Smith won two national titles. He probably should have won five. Play your best players.
Roy blew a bunch of teams too. Roy was not a great coach. Good recruiter, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, Leaky Black's real name is Rashawn, I think. R-E-C-H-O-N. His middle name is Malik. And his grandmother took Malik, called him Leaky. Now we got Leaky Black. I'm on his side by name only.
Okay. My apologies to Leaky Black. You know what? I'll go up and I'll hug him at the Final Four. I'll tell him what a great guy he is.
That's not bad. But you know what? One other kind of non-basketball Duke Carolina thing. Okay, we have this situation. Eric Church is a country music singer. Okay, I don't know a whole lot about country music, but I believe I've heard his name, so he must be pretty popular. He had a concert set for Saturday night at the AT&T Center in San Antonio. That's where the Spurs play. So many people obviously want to go watch and listen to Eric Church, and he canceled. He canceled on Tuesday. Just canceled the show. And said straight up, I've got to watch the Carolina Duke game. He is a huge North Carolina fan, and he is straight up canceling.
I respect.
And he just.
That's thousands of dollars he's just lighting on fire, and it's awesome.
First off, like, does it? Yeah. Not only does he not get the money, I'm sure the AT&T Center is not letting him out of that, whatever the rent is that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have to reschedule.
You got roadies. I mean, this is a big hit.
Yeah, but the dude, look, he's that big a deal. He's fine.
I mean,
you watch the game.
His fans are not happy. Some are all right. Many others are not. Eric Church is a clown, different stuff like that. Yeah, I mean,
it's nicer than what North Carolina fans are saying about me. Called a clown is fine.
He didn't say anything. He's on their side, though. He didn't say anything about Leaky Black. He's not trash talking the Duke players or anything. He's just not performing. So
I don't blame him.
Let's say you had tickets. This is your big night. You're excited to go. Maybe you drove in from a different. You already have a hotel room paid. Now you might be out on that. You lose your thing because your favorite singer is just straight up saying, "Nah, I can't do it. I got to watch this basketball game." Are you angry with that singer, or do you understand? What if it's a different sport that you don't care about?
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know what? Singer's prerogative. It's a big ass game. Watch the game. I mean, Duke, North Carolina, they've played 352 NCAA tournament games. They'd never played against each other. Carolina, nobody thought was going to be in the Final Four before.
Including
March
Eric
5th.
Church, because he scheduled a damn concert on the night of the.
Absolutely.
I have a tip for everybody that had tickets too to San Antonio.
What do you got?
So I grew up in San Antonio. There's a Mexican restaurant that has an amazing.
I thought you grew up in Chattanooga. What is this?
Yeah, wait.
I was born in San Antonio, and my family still lives there, so I spend a lot of time there. There's a great Mexican joint called El Haro that has amazing happy hour and amazing golden margaritas, but their bathroom is positioned in the back where it looks like you go straight, but if you've had a couple two margaritas, you actually have to take a turn. And the mirrors look like you run straight into the mirror. And you could go pregame there, go have great margaritas before the game, go to San Antonio, enjoy your time, and watch the Final Four on TV from there. So,
okay. Don't and worry smash about your face into a mirror.
No, watch El people Oro. Smash your face. I'm giving you the tip so you won't do it.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a great hour. You can
doesn't
just
everyone just pee in the river? The river water.
Yeah, that's true.
There's that.
Eric Church fan, sorry. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
I respect it, but man, that's just like wild. Because I mean, he would have been distracted. I mean, I could see it.
See?
I think this guy probably has so much money.
Yeah,
successful. So singer.
Like he can take the hit. It's fine.
He's just like
reschedule for some open date in May. Bring
essentially
back.
This is the only time in your life you're probably going to see this. You've got to be there. Going to be a tough pill to swallow, though, if Duke wins.
Yeah,
but he would have been distracted. Would have been a terrible concert.
Yeah, as someone who's listened to 0 minutes and 0 seconds of Eric Church, to the best of my knowledge, I can't say, you know, how big a blow it is to
Sully,
the fans. But
I mean, I've heard of him.
I've heard his name.
I'm sure I've heard his songs. I just don't know. A lot of country songs sound the same.
Yeah, he's one of the modern guys that are pretty good. They do.
See, one of these. Does he sing about pickup trucks and drinking by a river? Yeah, sometimes?
But he's got some good songs.
It's very novel stuff.
Springsteen
like that.
Is his big song. It's got like 304 million listens on Spotify.
So. Springsteen.
I'm sure I've heard it.
It's a song about a singer.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're gonna check it out.
He's actually one of the ones that I could listen to. Most of them are terrible.
All right, interesting story here. The United States Senate is back. Always fun when the politicians get involved.
Oh boy,
we have Cory Booker, former Stanford football player, and Marsha Blackburn. I do not know if she has an athletic background. One's from New Jersey, one's from Tennessee. They have a bipartisan bill, the NCAA Accountability Act of 2021. And it will solve a 10-page bill. This is according to Ross Dellinger, your co-worker at Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
A 10-page bill is an attempt to streamline, shorten, and bring greater equity to an NCAA investigative arm that has drawn harsh criticism from virtually every corner of college athletics. So basically it's saying it's too slow, which I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
The bill requires NCAA inquiries to be completed within 8 months of a school receiving a notice that an investigation is opened. Okay. NCAA cannot investigate violations or alleged to have happened more than 2 years before the notice of investigation. The current statute of limitation is 4. The bill would prohibit the NCAA using confidential sources as evidence for a decision. And a school can appeal punishments by using a 3-arbiter panel different from the NCAA's current appeal committee. That is the bill. Thoughts on this bipartisan legislation?
Well, I mean, it sounds good. We'll see if, you know, A, if he can get it passed, and then B, if it'll actually work that way. You know, we've said how many times on this podcast that if you invite Congress in, you get Congress, and you can get people who really don't know what they're talking about or understand the processes. I don't think there's anything too outrageous here, except for the lack of use of confidential sources. I don't fully understand what the point is there, and I think that you would badly hamstring the ability to find out the truth if you cannot confidentially find things out. I mean, we certainly know in journalism the value of confidential sources. How many stories have we written that were 100% true, of course, that were founded on information from confidential sources?
Well, this would be as evidence for a decision. So I guess you could find out info, but then you'd have to confirm it on the record.
Okay. Well,
before bringing it. I mean, look, that and the 8 months mean almost most cases aren't going to happen.
Right.
I mean, I wish this thing was faster. What I would like to see from the NCAA, I would like it to be faster, but I don't know that putting an arbiter, like a clock running down, first 48, you ever watch that show?
No, but I've heard about it, and I know what. Yes, they've got the actual clock.
Pretty exciting, but if they get the guy on like the 50th hour, who cares, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good idea for a show, but it's like 2 days later the guy confessed. Oh, okay. So why did I waste an hour on this acting like this clock mattered? It'd be very hard to. I mean, I don't know what NCAA rules are left. That's one thing.
That's a huge part of this. After NIL has moved in, what's a violation? What isn't? And how do you catch them and prosecute them, so to speak? So, no, and then look, the 8 months, like right now, the NCAA will at least tell you the investigative part of the process lasts 10 months on average. Their average case is 10 months. So 8 months is not like this radical speed up. But again, yes, it's hard to put a definitive time on it, especially a fairly arbitrary one. And secondly, most of the times the schools that have been accused are the ones that are dragging things out. They want extensions, they want delays, they don't cooperate, that sort of thing. Look at LSU, look at Kansas. I mean, some of these cases where it's like, no, we need a delay, we need this, we need that. It's one of those things where, like, if your team is involved in a replay review at the end of a basketball game, you want the review to last as long as it needs to get it right. If you're not involved, you don't care. That's where this is. If your school's involved, you want to take as much time as you can.
They should put a little rider on this. Like, all reviews of the NCAA tournament must be done in like the 30-second shot clock.
Yeah, right. Let's. If Congress is going to get involved, let's take care of that too.
Yeah, I got to get add things in there that can appeal to the masses to get more political support. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, my thing with most of these cases is that they try to go too far. And they try to tie up every loose end. So, like, to me, let's take the Kansas case, okay? So the Kansas case, you have, I mean, this is stuff that's certainly not confidential source. You have TJ Gasanola, Merle Code. You have talking to Curtis Townsend. You have Gasanola texting with self. You have this evidence that's out there, okay? No one else is going to talk. You don't waste time trying to flip somebody. Like, this is the evidence. And you present it, and a group of people either sit there and believe Kansas' story that Bill Self and Curtis Townsend, everyone in Kansas, is the most naive hayseed of all time and have absolutely no idea that someone like TJ Gasanola and James Gatto could possibly be paying players. Or you sit there and go, this is a bunch of BS. These guys knew exactly what was going on.
Just got to get a couple real guys.
Right. To me, you could solve this one way or the other fairly quickly. Like, that's the case. Now, yeah. You either buy the excuse, so we didn't know. We weren't really saying help. When we meant help, we just meant like, hey, if you could put in a good word, you know, or yeah. You could sit there and be like, yeah, they knew they were going to drop $89,000 to Billy Preston's mom or yep. Something close to it. They didn't know exactly, but Gasanola didn't put $30,000 in a briefcase and deliver it to his mom in a Manhattan hotel room by accident. That wasn't quote unquote help.
Right.
Okay, so
don't tell Kansas we're doing this.
Don't tell nobody. I'm just on my own going to throw 30. So, but whatever. Let's say you do want to believe Kansas's ridiculous idea that Bill Self has no idea how college basketball works, despite being a Hall of Fame coach. Okay, fine. But you could have done this like in 2019. Trial ended in 2018. You had transcripts. You had all the stuff presented. Instead, they spent years reinvestigating the same crap. And I would say now the whole thing's like a farce.
Right.
So, like, which one is it? I just feel like a lot of the cases you can just basically, it's just not that hard. It's just not that hard to make a decision. And maybe if we kept plugging and plugging and plugging, we would also found that this other kid got this or this, you know, it's like these comprehensive audits, right? Because sometimes they'll spill over and the tennis team, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, found this. So I don't know. I mean, this is probably by sitting there basically saying, don't even try to do extensive investigations would speed it up. Because I think the NCAA is partially its own problem on that. But I don't know. I don't know what's left of it.
Well,
it wasn't a bad idea, I guess.
I mean, no. The problem was, you know, the NCAA via Condi Rice and that whole committee came up with this IIRP thing. Because they wanted to remove the potential conflict of interest of having Greg Sankey being the head of the infractions committee that investigates or decides North Carolina. But the process, they created a completely unworkable off-ramp. You got a bunch of people that don't know the rules, that don't know how anything works, and they have to redo everything. And not only that, they decided to do this on the fly with the biggest, most complex cases they've ever had. You know, they didn't start with, hey, here's a jaywalking ticket and here's a speeding ticket. They said, here's federal crimes, supposedly.
But those aren't even that complicated. Again, I think they make them complicated.
Well, right.
I mean, I agree. They took the biggest cases.
Yes. I mean, your point is correct that they're not that complicated. You look at what came out in court and you decide, is this a violation or not? But
they're also,
that's not the way these things work.
They also, right, they have this new committee, and they go over the top to try to be fair. And again, they got to get the people up to speed. And also, like the American judicial system, you can get called into jury and decide in one day whether a guy murdered somebody. You don't have to know anything.
No.
Complicated.
They prefer you know nothing, as a matter of fact, on the jury.
Right. Have you ever, you know anything about anything? No.
Right. Good, you're Do on you the- watch television news? No. Do you read the paper? No. All right. You're selected.
Never heard of it, right? Yeah. You could take complicated, I mean, they'll have corporate espionage, banking crimes, things that people do not know a whole lot about, and they'll try to dumb it down for the guys in like 3-day trial, and then you decide someone's fate, like imprisonment. This is basically how they got people who knew nothing about college basketball were able to convince them that Jim Gatto and Merle Code and Christian Dawkins were actually defrauding people, not doing their bidding.
Right.
Yeah. This is how dumb the system is, because they brought in a compliance structure. So, oh, no, we don't allow that. That's we have these forms you got to fill out and say you never saw anything. All right. So I don't know. I don't know if that'll go anywhere. You are right about once you invite Congress in, it is dicey. It reminds me, we mentioned this in the last episode, and I went back and looked at it. The Villanova, quote unquote, scandal under when the guys were using some players on the team way back in the day.
Using the cell credit phones card
everywhere.
Phone credit
they,
card.
They got a hold of back then, if you wanted to dial long distance, there was like you had like a calling card. Remember old calling cards? You had like a password, right?
Yep.
So you dial the password and then you could make a long distance call. So somehow it got around and people were spreading around the basketball team and they were using to call home and call their girlfriends, whatever, long distance calls. And that was a massive scandal at the time. And this is why, this is a direct line. You want to know why we have just no rules NIL going? It's because the NCAA spent years trying to pretend that was a big deal.
Right.
They made a huge deal for years about they held the line on everything, including the Villanova basketball team calling home to mom. That was scandalous because they got a quote unquote extra benefit. And that's where they lost the people. And that's why in the long run, that Jim Delaney group, that era of that generation of leaders will go down as absolutely just destroying what they thought they were protecting. Because they lost the American public on that. And they lost everything. And now, because you look back and go, come on. That was a huge scandal.
No, they lost common sense and they lost common decency to a degree. And I was like, we are going to begrudge the athletes getting anything. And in the process, people were like, wait a minute, why do we have all these stupid rules? And eventually every rule came to be viewed as stupid, whether it was or not.
Kerry Kittles got suspended for this. Kerry Kittles made a quote significant number of calls over several months. Oh my God. This is what passed for a scandal. Quote unquote. This is how serious it was. So he's suspended. Athletic director Gene DeFilippo said in a statement, he has repaid the debt in full with the assistance of his family. I mean, what was that? Like $25?
Maybe it was $100. Who knows?
Kerry Kittles. It was awesome.
Yeah.
This is why. This is that you can direct line it. This is eventually people are just like, come on, this is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
There it is. Kerry Kittles shows remorse. I got to read this. Hold on. I made a mistake. Kittles said, I am sorry for the mistake I have made. I have taken full responsibility for my actions. This will have an effect for a very long time. I hope that someday I can regain everyone. I mean, we dragged the guy out. I hope someday I can regain everyone's trust.
Yeah, as soon as you go back out and score 18 on St. John's, you've got everyone's trust. It's fine.
Kittles, the standing behind a Lector, the senior basketball star, Kerry Kittles, he was All-American. 4 years he did for the made money for the NCAA and Villanova. Basketball star described himself as selfish, humiliated, totally embarrassed, and contrite.
Good Lord. Public flaying.
Unbelievable. Kittles said nobody knew he was using the number. He previously apologized to his teammates. Told them how sorry I was for embarrassing them and letting them down, said Kittles, who led the Wildcats in scoring, rebounding, and steals. You know, we're a strong team, a real unit. The guys, you know, they love me to death. I love them to death. They were behind me 100%. I bet they were.
I'm sorry I didn't hopefully give you guys the number, too.
Called somebody. But, I mean, how many people are you calling long distance? And what are you doing? You're talking on the telephone.
Yeah. There was no cell phones in the 90s, so. You're on the dorm phone. You're sitting there on your dorm phone.
1996, yeah.
You're dragging the phone cord outside so your roommate doesn't have to listen to you talk to your girlfriend.
I think, okay, so later there was another one with the same call card. So maybe they should have gotten 12 players were suspended in 2003 for this calling card.
That's the one where Jay Wright was involved.
Jay was the coach, yeah.
Yeah. That was
the person
round two.
The person it belonged to had no idea the number was being used by other students on campus. Just so happened some of the basketball players or some of the students that shared it with each other. So a whole bunch of people. Suspensions ranged from 3 to 8 games. depending on the dollar amount of the calls. If the amount of for an athlete is less than 100, he can clear himself by making restitution. If it's more than 100, a suspension is mandated.
All right. There you have it. $101. Call this is your it. Girlfriend.
Kittle's,
who's
it comes out in here.
In New Kittle's York.
Kittle's made more than $3,000 in calls during his career at Villanova.
Yeah, you know.
That's a better phone plan. All right. So anyway, that's why. So NCAA has only itself to blame for not being more efficient.
So we'll hear Thursday from Mark Emmert in New Orleans. He's having a press conference, which usually is a train wreck. And then Greg Sankey is having a separate little thing as the head of the transformation committee to the new NCAA governance structure, which I'm sure will be extremely wonky, but we'll see what he has to say as well.
Another item, Pac-12 is giving up its expensive office space in San Francisco that spent like $9 million renting.
Yeah.
You can apparently work from home now in the Pac-12.
Imagine that.
That seems a little much. I kind of want my conference to have an office.
The sicko, I would too.
The Sicko's Twitter had a great tweet and said, Pac-12 after dark in your underwear now.
Don't want George Kliakoff. I want him wearing pants every day.
I mean, yes.
I don't need Kliakoff lounging around the house.
I think it seems like there should be a middle ground between no, you know, like Batman Mega Million high rise in downtown San Francisco and nothing, like no office at all. I mean, can't we just get like a sensible building in Sacramento or
a small suite of offices, even just like somewhere? I mean, these could be out in the suburbs of San Francisco.
Right,
I mean,
it's in Walnut Creek.
Move it to Vegas. Right. I mean, come on. No office?
Yeah, that seems like a bit extreme.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this.
No.
I want an office.
Yeah.
Just send all your Pac-12 mail to George's house, I guess.
We send the hate mail.
Right. Yeah. For all the fans that are pissed at the officiating, where do they send their stuff?
Kliakoff's going to be like just downing chicken wings at home, like drinking beers. Oh, wait, there's a referee problem. Fourth and 10. I mean, what? No office. Pac-12 can't afford an office.
I did see, like, John Wilner, who, of course, does the best job covering the Pac-12, he did break it down and be like, every school saves $500,000 to $750,000 a year, which is not insignificant, as he pointed out. You know, it's like a couple position coaches maybe in football, something like that. But still, it seems like we should have just a little more structure, perhaps, for a Power 5 conference. George sitting at home in a wife beater, and it's like, oh, yeah, we just had an emergency. I got to get on a Zoom call. Grabbing suit coat, you know, and shirt and tie, and still sitting there in his shorts and flip flops.
He's got one of those like suit t-shirts that he just throws on.
Multi-level marketing. What is this? It's like, hey, I need to work. I can make thousands of dollars working from home. It's like in the comments.
It's like the John Clayton Sports Center.
You know, the
famous commercial, rest in peace, John, but where he tosses, Mom! got the ponytail.
Oh, absolutely. I made $3.2 million as the Pac-12 commissioner working from home. More time with my kids. It's an unbelievable deal. Send me $10 a month. I'll figure it out. Maybe you get the Pac-12 network on TV, but probably not. I like Kliakoff's style, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's been awesome. Man,
how much you guys paid me? Guess what? I ain't even showing up for work. You know how? It's like he's outthought them all. You know how you never have to show up for work? Don't have work. Ain't nowhere to show up.
That's right.
You can't been be late though. He's been at every single basketball game. Like he's
tough. Oh yeah.
It's awesome. Fine.
Hey, I'll give him credit. I saw him at a game in January, and he watched the game. He didn't just sit there looking at his phone the whole time. So I'm pro George.
We'll get him back when he's in the office. All right.
How about the Pac-12 network? Are they all just going Wayne's World now? Is this all
I think they have to go in. Okay. No one will know. There's no proof.
Where do they go to go in?
I don't know. I think they kept the studios.
Rent some garage space in Mountain View or whatever. I don't know.
I think they're still in. I don't know.
They're going to WeWork.
There you go. All right. College football recruiting news. We've been detailing the quarterbacks. We're still waiting on old Arch, who was at Texas recently again.
Yep.
There had been a swing in public opinion that Arch Manning would be going to Alabama, but he went and took another look at Texas. He is supposed to visit Alabama in April. So still waiting.
Yeah.
But Texas is in the running. So it would be huge.
Are we still thinking that he will announce, Arch will announce on the Peyton and Eli show during Monday Night Football?
I don't think he waits that long. Probably those are like his crazy uncle. Think about your uncles. How much, even if your uncles had won 4 Super Bowls combined, how much do you really respect your uncles?
Yeah, not that much.
They've got enough money in their little show.
Yeah, that's what Cooper needs to do, Dad. Cooper, who's been known to sit on a bar stool at Kingpin, the great bar in New Orleans, he needs to rent out Kingpin for the announcement and have Arch announce it there.
Oh, exclusive to the Yahoo Sports or the College Football Inquirer. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll extend our invitation.
If I see Cooper in New Orleans this week, I'll propose that to him.
Okay, thank you. Dante Moore, also top 10 national recruit, 5-star quarterback from Detroit, was at Notre Dame for a couple days this week. It's like spring break time for the high school kids, so there's been a lot of recruiting.
Yep.
He and his dad spent a couple days down there. There are all sorts of social media posts, including these waffles that Notre Dame makes with the Notre Dame logo right in the middle. Look tasty. The line that I saw that if I was a Notre Dame fan would give me the most hope was his dad saying, "We want to see what the sunrise looks on the Golden Dome, or how the Golden Dome looks during a sunrise."
Okay.
Like that's some Notre Dame.
Oh,
that's some Notre Dame crap right
that
there.
That stirs the souls of all the domers right
that's
there.
That's the opening scene of Rudy.
Exactly. With like the mist coming off the guys rowing a crew across the river, some South Bend river.
I don't know if they got much of
soaring
that.
Soaring music.
Yeah. What if you really want to make it accurate, it's the grim-faced, overly bundled up co-eds trudging across campus in 8-degree weather and then the sun rising on the dome.
Well, there you go. But look, the thing about Notre Dame is you're either a Notre Dame person or you're not.
Correct.
And if you're a Notre Dame person, you're all in.
Oh.
Like that type, like we got a Golden Dome over our campus and the Law Quad and the Grotto and this and that. And this is the greatest. And you got to live, you have to embrace all the parts that other people sit there and go, I'm not doing that. I want an athletic dorm. I want this. Like, where's the mini golf course? I don't care about the Law Quad. Right. Where's the lazy river?
Where's the sports management degree?
Yeah, where's the sports manager? How much food do I get every day in the thing? Mm-hmm. That's what. So I remember Brad Stevens saying at Butler, they knew the moment anyone visited within about 2 minutes, they'd get them into Hinkle Fieldhouse. And if a kid said, can I shoot? They get in there and look at that place. And, you know, everyone knows Hinkle is awesome and all that. And they go, can I shoot? And if they didn't, it's like, we're done.
Right.
Yeah. Our guys want to shoot. Sure. Any guy we got a shot with sits there and says, this is one of the greatest places I've ever seen. Even though I'm not coming here, I want to shoot. If you're just like, where's the upper deck? Yeah. Okay, right. You ain't going to be for Butler.
Yeah.
Okay, go find somewhere else to go play ball. That's fine.
You're either a Butler romantic or a Notre Dame romantic. Or you're not.
Yeah. And they sound like they're Notre Dame romantics a little bit.
It sounds like it. If he wants to see the sunrise on the Golden Dome, baby, I think there's probably 500 Notre Dame alums right now ready to fire them video. This is what it looks like. This is the sunrise. This is the sunset. Here's the reflection over on Touchdown Jesus. Here it is on the grotto.
Yeah, here's the quote. Quote, we want to wake up and see how the sun comes up on the Golden Dome. So... So aside from all of this, how enormous would this be for Marcus Freeman? I mean, he is loading up on recruits. They have the number one class, and they're getting top 100 players now, but most of them are defensive players. But you get this kind of quarterback. This would be probably I guess Jimmy Clausen was the number one quarterback once.
Yeah, and so they're, you know, again.
I mean, that was a long time ago.
Sometimes they stars matter, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But not only do they get a guy this good, he's also an African-American kid from a city school, not...
Right. Yep.
Like, you know, from Detroit.
Yep.
I mean, this would be everybody wants them. You can sit there. I mean, who knows about stars matter, but like everyone in the country's offered this kid. Like, this to me would be an enormous recruit.
Absolutely. No, for all the reasons you mentioned. First of all, it's a quarterback, and Notre Dame has not had a bunch of superstar quarterbacks. Secondly, and I was there when they had the Marcus Freeman introduction, and I talked to some of the former players, Chris Zorich, Pat Terrell, from back when they won their last national title. 1988, and they said, Marcus Freeman is going to get us into schools we're not in right now. You know, we're not just recruiting the Catholic schools in Chicago and the Catholic schools in Dayton and Cincinnati and wherever. We're going to go into public schools and we're going to get guys that have been going to Ohio State or going to Alabama or going to Georgia or whatever. So they feel like this is definitely a time to expand their recruiting reach, and this is a prime example of it. If you can go into Detroit and get a guy who's not, you know, born and raised in the Catholic doctrine, so to speak.
Brady Quinn was a 4-star. Jimmy Clausen was the number one overall 5.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
So we'll hope wherever Dante goes, he does a little better than Jimmy Clausen. But this would be a huge recruit for Notre Dame. And it would set it up. It would set the class up to be the kind that you start stacking classes like this, and Notre Dame's gets legit real quick. Like, this is the legit level. Brian Kelly used to say, we can't start beating Georgia and Alabama until we beat them for players. And this certainly, and they're doing that right now, but a quarterback's the most important position. And this isn't just the, well, his dad played there and he's from this school that always sends us the guys. It's a different deal. All right, before we get to this year's Final Four, we did want to relive the great moment that we mentioned last week. We weren't really prepared for it. It was the, obviously, the Duke-Carolina rivalry is intense. We've got country singers just bailing on 20,000 people in San Antonio and stuff. But it still pales to the great story of Kentucky-Louisville of a decade ago when they met in the Final Four. And here's the story. God, I wish we had the pod that week, but we'll make up for it now.
Yes. It's never too late.
We're getting into this. Authorities say Kentucky-Louisville basketball rivalry boiled over at a Kentucky dialysis clinic when one patient punched another during an argument about the teams. Police Lieutenant Robert Swanigan said the altercation at the Georgetown Clinic. Where is Georgetown, Kentucky?
Georgetown is a little bit north of Lexington. Okay. Generally speaking, deep, big blue territory. Occasionally, right, you'll get a couple beast. Louisville fans pop up.
Okay, well, credit to Charles Taylor. He is a Louisville fan, although it didn't end so well with him, I don't think. Let me see how it plans out. I don't know. Well, again, boxy comp numbers. It began with a verbal exchange between Ed Wilson, a 68-year-old Kentucky fan, and Charles Taylor, a 71-year-old Louisville fan. The men were arguing about who will win when the teams meet Saturday in the Final Four. According to Lieutenant Swanigan, I think this is a first at a dialysis center. Okay. Swanigan says Wilson, who was already hooked up to the dialysis machine, flipped off Taylor, who was waiting his turn. So the Kentucky guy flipped off the Louisville guy. That's when Taylor was not going to let this disrespect go. That's when Taylor punched Wilson in the face. Wilson was hooked up to the dialysis machine and got popped in the face. You think Chris Rock can take a hit?
Yeah, right.
This is Wilson telling WKYT. He just happened to think U of L would beat UK, and then he started to run his mouth. That's what started it. Taylor said he was actually talking about the matchup with someone else. So the Louisville guy, apparently, he was just talking loud. He was meddling, Taylor said, and told me to shut up and gave me the finger. I went up and hit him. Didn't hit him that hard, but I hit him. Lieutenant Swanigan said he thought tensions would rise as Saturday's game approached, but the fight at the clinic was stranger than they expected.
happy 10-year anniversary to that moment, right?
Wilson declined to file charges. I hope both men are alive and can hear this.
I hope they are, too. And yeah, I hope they're listening.
Dialysis is working. Great story.
Yeah.
Great story.
I will say, like, I have always said, I've actually changed my mind. Duke Carolina is the best rivalry, but I have always said Kentucky Louisville is the most heated, hated rivalry in college basketball because you get stuff like that. You get dialysis clinic fights. I mean, Duke and Carolina, they're too busy arguing about who has more class. Kentucky and Louisville, they ain't worried about class. They're just worried about kicking ass.
Kentucky won that game.
Yep. Won the national title.
So punch a dude while he's hooked up to the machine. That doesn't seem fair. But then again, if you're flipping people off, you're asking for it. I mean,
you know,
you better be ready, hooked up to the machine or not.
That's right.
Stay ready, baby.
That's right.
You're flying birds.
Stay ready. Head on a swivel.
That's right.
March Madness, man. All right, let's get into the a little bit of this Duke Carolina. Duke is 4.5-point favorite, over under 132.5. 70% of the bets at BetMGM and 80% of the money is on the Blue Devils. Pat, who you got?
Well, I expect Carolina to shut them out because of Leaky Black. So, you know, I figure it's probably going to be about 71-0 for the Heels. I think Duke will win. I think Duke has better talent. They have been more consistently good. Krzyzewski said, you know, we had a bad week, and he basically owned that we overblew the whole last game at Cameron thing and put too much pressure on our own kids. And quite frankly, I think this is probably more a Krzyzewski family/school. We want to send Mike out the right way than him saying, I need to be honored. I just think that it kind of got blown up around him, and his very young team did not handle it well. And since then, boy, they've played well. You know, I mean, the way they had stretches against Michigan State and against Texas Tech and then again against Arkansas, maybe 5-minute stretches, but when the game was close, where they just absolutely were brilliant offensively and good enough defensively. They've added a little zone to the repertoire now so they can mix. They've got size. They've got speed. They've got guys that can shoot. They've got everything you need to win a national title. I don't know whether they will, but they've got enough, I think, to beat North Carolina, which has obviously raised its level of play incredibly, starting March 5th in Cameron. And they've got great players, too. I mean, they have size. They have shooters. When their guards are playing the way they have been, Caleb Love especially, but RJ Davis as well, I mean, this could be a heck of a fun shootout. If those guys are hitting, then I think we're looking at 77-75 or something. But if they're not, if Caleb Love's back to going 4-for-18 and not guarding very well, that sort of thing, then it's all on Leaky's shoulders, and that might be too much to ask.
Yeah, give me Duke. I think they got exactly what they needed in that final week. The pressure was tight. They were playing tight, and now they're playing loose. You look at them the last few games, they look like a completely different team than what they did in Cameron Indoor in the ACC tournament. Yeah, I got to ride the Blue Devils here. Give me the Coach K in the final game, one more go around for a title or not storyline.
Yeah, I'm with Duke too. I just think they have too many good players. Wendell Moore, AJ Griffin, Banchero, Mark Williams. I mean, these guys are all NBA bound.
Yeah.
Jeremy Roach is a great player. I don't know that he's NBA bound or not, but he might be.
Right.
They just have so much talent. And it's interesting when you go back to that game. I, like I said, I thought these guys couldn't handle the pressure of it. It probably was just way too much. I mean, there was something just sort of like over the top about that day. And I get it was like not really for national consumption. It's more like this is a Duke thing, but you know, just the family, so much family was like our family sacrifice and all this. Like, it was just, I don't know, just everything was felt too big.
And UNC played a perfect game. Four dudes went over 20 points in that game, too.
They played an unbelievable game.
Yeah.
But I could see it all just being like all week, just being over the top.
And it was like I was there and started on Thursday was the first time you're like, when Kay had a press conference and he was really good. But the words North and Carolina never came up. There was no discussion of the game. There was no discussion of, hey, we need to do this or do that or stop this or stop that. It was like North Carolina was a complete afterthought, and it was all like this massive ceremonial festival thing. And like the campus even felt like that. The players, first of all, spring break, so there were no students around, but there was all these people visiting, ESPN employees everywhere, media coming in, you know, everybody interviewing everyone they can see. And it did not feel normal by any stretch. And it just worked against them, I think, and it certainly worked in Carolina's favor. They could feel the disrespect.
I think, I mean, look, nobody has more experience than Mike Krzyzewski at coaching in the Final Four, unless we're going to go with Gino Auriemma, but in terms of the men's side. So my guess is he's just running this like he normally does, 13th Final Four. And at this point, the pressure and the finality wouldn't matter whatever's going on.
Right.
So yeah. This is it. So if he can keep that, you know, I just think they have a better team than North Carolina, but
yeah.
Obviously going to be a great game. All right, Villanova, Kansas. Kansas is giving 4.5, over under 151. Half the bets, but 75% of the money is on KU.
Yeah, give me KU. I think losing more is just too much. 34 minutes a game, that's your stud. That's your guy that you've been leaning on all year. And they're pretty light. They don't go deep into the bench at Villanova. So that I just like Kansas the way they've been playing. Two stout dudes in the middle inside that Villanova is going to have a hard time with. So give me the Jayhawks.
Yep. Jayhawks will win and cover. With Justin Moore, I would give Villanova a chance. They still would be up against it from a size standpoint. That's immovable, but they would have those perimeter players and, you know, the way they space the floor, move the ball, make shots, I would give them a chance, especially to kind of frustrate Kansas. But without him, no. This is a 6-man team that's now a 5-man team. You're going to have to try to get like Brian Antoine, who was a 5-star, like top 10 recruit, who's been injured and ineffective and really done nothing in his college career. You're going to all of a sudden have to try to get him up to speed in like a week's time. I think that's too much to ask against a very, very good opponent. So it all lines up for Kansas, not just to win there, but then to have the fresher team in the final, I think, on Monday.
So if it's Kansas, I'm going to pick Kansas too. This is really boring picks. We all agree. Kansas would be giving 1. If it's Kansas UNC, Kansas would be giving 5. Okay. Duke Villanova, Duke would be giving 3.5. Villanova UNC, Villanova would be a 1.5 favorite.
Really?
They don't like Carolina. Anyway, let's, if it's Kansas Duke, who do you got just quickly? Which team?
I'm going to take Duke. Rematch of the 1991 finals. Not a rematch, really. I hate when people say that. It's just a reoccurrence.
Grandpa.
Yeah. We're not dusting off Greg Kubek and Mark Randall and Adonis Jordan and Grant Hill.
I was not born yet.
It's like when they do those stats, like so-and-so is 112-83 all-time on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's
yeah.
Very relevant.
So, no, but I'll take Duke. I just think at that point, you get there, you know, you've gotten to that point, you finished the job. Could be a heck of a game, and I do think they would be the less rested of the two teams, and that does matter. Sometimes you see teams crack on that Monday night, no matter how badly they want it. But I'm going to say Duke gets it done and wins the whole damn thing.
I'll pick Kansas. I'll take the Jayhawks in this one because I think the first game for Duke is the Super Bowl. They're going to get the revenge over Carolina. There's going to be so much emotion this week going to that game. And Kansas just sitting back there. They're going to, like you said, they're going to be more rested and nobody's going to be talking about them on Monday. It's all going to be about coach this, coach say that, final game, yada, yada, yada. And they're going to go and get the dub.
I like Kansas too. I like their team. I love the way they close games. And I'm with Sully on the emotional letdown of, I mean, I know you're going to try to get up, but this is going to be a very emotional game on Saturday night for Duke Carolina. So women's Final Four, briefly, Louisville is playing South Carolina. South Carolina is an 8.5-point favorite. Make a pick on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got to go with South Carolina there. Louisville's
no hometown pride. What the heck?
No, sorry. I mean, we're here to pick games, man, not to cheer for your hometown. South Carolina's team is awesome. Aaliyah Boston, probably the best player in college basketball. You know, maybe Paige Beckers, but just a force, big force down low. And she was the one. She made some mistakes at the end of that heartbreaking loss in the championship game last year to Stanford. She was in tears after that. I think she's been on a mission since then, and they're just really good. Louisville's program is unbelievable. I mean, Jeff Walls has done a phenomenal job. He's recruiting at an incredibly high level. They have a star player in Haley Van Lith, was mentored to a degree, tutored by Kobe Bryant, and she had the immortal quote after they beat Michigan in the Elite Eight. She had the immortal quote when interviewed, said, "What would Kobe tell you right now?" And said, "Fucking go win that shit." And so that's her orders. That's what she's going to try to do.
Don't ask. Yeah. That question was like, people were upset. There was cuss words. I know.
Whatever.
Yeah. I thought that was great. That was a great line. That's pretty much what Kobe would say.
Yeah.
She's great. I'm going South Carolina as well. They went wire to wire number one.
Yeah.
Women's basketball often shows you who the best team is. It's like, believe it. And it looks like it's South Carolina. Sully, you with South Carolina? 8.5 is a lot of points, but that's a great team. And then in the other game, you got Connecticut, Stanford, UConn had one of their worst seasons. They had everybody injured, including Paige Becker. She returns to Minnesota. She's from outside Minneapolis. I think this game is in St. Paul, somewhat nearby. They will take on Stanford. Connecticut is a 1.5-point underdog. Stanford is the favorite. Sully, we'll start with you. What do you think?
Hard to pick against Beckers and UConn after watching that NC State game. That was an all-time classic, overtime thriller.
Great game.
So I'll stick with the Huskies there. Crashing the party, one of their worst years ever.
No, I'm definitely rolling with Stanford there. I mean,
Homer.
You
wouldn't take UConn, Louisville, but you won't
UConn
take Stanford.
UConn went to overtime playing a home game against NC State, and that's one of the big problems with the women's tournament, is you still have home games, and you gave a lower seed the home game.
It wasn't
game.
A they home played, game. It was
they
a Bridgeport,
Connecticut. It's a home game. Come on.
Sometimes that happens. Wisconsin played in Milwaukee in the first round of the NCAAs.
They did. They were also a three seed. They were, they weren't playing anybody seeded higher than them in those two games. So, this was wrong to have a number one seed playing a road game.
They could have sent Connecticut somewhere else. I agree.
Yeah. So that's one of the problems with the women's team game is that they are dependent on home crowds to fill arenas.
But that was only one time. I mean, that was only one of the Sweet 16 sites. It was the only one that had that issue.
Yeah, it was. But
now they play the first two rounds at home.
Yeah, right.
And that's a problem.
That's a problem. But then this is a bigger problem because you have a lower seeded team getting a home advantage. That's it. Connecticut should not have been able to play in Bridgeport unless they were a one seed, and they were not. So I didn't like that. But so anyway, look, they had to go to overtime to win their home game. Stanford's been great all year. They're 32-3. They played South Carolina. Good game early on. I watched it. South Carolina won at home 65-61. Stanford, Haley Jones, one of the best players in the country, really fun to watch. Cameron Brink, great center. The Hull sisters, they've got gamers. They've been there. They won it all last year. They're going to beat Connecticut and go back to the championship game.
I love Beckers. Watching Beckers play, man. She's slippery. She just slides into these spots in a bank jumper.
Yeah, great shooter.
Great shooter. If I'm getting a point and a half and I got Connecticut, I'll take it. I don't think they beat South Carolina, though. I got South Carolina for the win. Anyone disputing that?
Yes, I'm taking Stanford
all the way.
Stanford to win it all. I'd like my daughter to at least talk to me. I don't care about anybody in the city of Louisville talking to me, but I'd like my daughter to still talk to me.
Okay. That would have ended your father-daughter relationship 23
years.
I'd
like to think not, but let's not push it.
don't test the waters. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I rock the boat. Who really cares? Right. All right. Finally, this story, we've discussed where's the Guntown Kangaroo, right? The Guntown, Mississippi Kangaroo. If you recall, Kangaroo escaped, in Guntown, Mississippi and was not seen. I have been pretty certain that someone in a town called Guntown put a slug in the side of that thing, and it's currently up in the wall somewhere.
Probably terrible. Some kangaroo jerky too involved.
Kangaroo jerky. This is my guess.
The kangaroo is fine,
but I do not. Yeah, Pat is going more that the kangaroo has escaped, and this lends belief that it's possible. There was the kangaroo that showed up in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And randomly. Down the street from you in Michigan, there is another one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, there was a kangaroo in Michigan, too.
See? Our dude's been getting around.
Maybe. So here we have this story. Comes out of Wichita, Kansas. Nothing good ever happens. There's never like... Every story from Wichita, like, there's never like news from Wichita other than weird news.
Yeah.
I don't think anything ever happens in Wichita. One of two flamingos that escaped from a Kansas zoo during a storm 17 years ago.
What?
2005 has been spotted on the coast of Texas, wildlife official says. A flamingo, two flamingos. Made a jailbreak. It's like Escape from Alcatraz or like the end of Shawshank when you waited, Dufresne waited for the thunder to break into the sewage pipe that he would. How did he know it was going to storm? How did he know that night?
He was ready, man. He prepared. He was not on like the flamingos.
1940s prison. Was he on weather.com? I don't think so. It's a big plot problem in that movie. Anyway. Coastal Fishery Division of the Texas Park and Wildlife confirmed Tuesday to the Associated Press that the African flamingo, known as number 492, very creative.
You can't even give poor thing a name? Come on.
Because of the number on its leg band.
Geez, all right, yeah. But
was captured on video on March 10th by an environmental activist near Port Lavaca, Texas.
Yep, that is where my uncle lives. So I'm
Sully.
Sully claiming yet another spot.
Another town for Sully.
Yeah.
Another town. Port Lavaca. I grew up in Port Lavaca.
Port Lavaca High School, the sand crabs. My grandmother used to cheer
the
for
them. Sand crabs.
Pinch'em like crab. It. Pinch'em crab. Pinch'em is their chant.
Really?
Yep.
I like it.
Do you ever see a flamingo?
No.
While you were down there?
No.
Officials were able to make out the leg band on the video.
Wow.
The bird and another flamingo escaped from the Sedgwick County Zoo in Wichita on a stormy night in June 2005.
Dang.
Employees had not yet clipped the bird's wings to prevent them from flying, which facilitated their escape, I bet. The other flamingo was never seen again. Number 492 has been spotted several times in Wisconsin, Louisiana, and Texas.
Wisconsin? Sometimes,
yeah, went up there. Why not? Check out the Badgers.
Great summers up there.
Yeah, beautiful. Right. Well, now he's spring breaking in the coast of Texas. That probably hits South Padre down there, right?
Zoo officials have never made plans to recapture number 492. That's good. I mean, the guy escaped. Maybe they're a little chap. They lost their flamingo, but this is where he should be.
See? It's like, you know what? In Shawshank, again, you put the boat on the coast and you fix up the boat. This is he's down there at 492. I think we should name him like, you know, Walt or something. I mean, he's got to have a name other than 492.
Andy. Andy and Red.
Andy. Going to, right. Yeah, Andy.
Red.
Zawan Tateo or whatever.
He's
big,
but his name is Red. It's perfect.
Because he's Irish. Yeah. He's Irish.
Uh-huh. Right. I was thinking, like, is this bird getting really old? But I just looked it up. Flamingos can live to be 40 to 60 years old. So,
wow.
Might be of spring break age right now, you know?
So the kangaroo could be loose. This is like, you ever see one of those guys, they escape and then they live like a quiet life for 30 years and then they get caught and they get send them back to prison. And it's like, I think he's rehabbed.
I agree. That's mean.
It's poor. I'm happy for 492. What a crap life for a flamingo getting stuck being gawked at by third grade field trips in Wichita.
In Wichita. I mean, if you're going to be gawked at, there are better places.
Was born in Africa and shipped to the Kansas Zoo in 2004 with 39 other flamingos. That shouldn't be legal.
Should not.
No importing flamingos.
Zoos are weird. I live right near a zoo. Zoos are weird.
Hey, now I'm pro zoo. We got to raise.
Really?
Yeah, we got to raise awareness, and they do a lot of good things and like breeding rare animals and raising awareness to endangered species.
Raising awareness. What about the individual? This flamingo 492 just had to sacrifice to raise awareness of what?
You want to be in a Wichita, Kansas, fed every day, or be in Africa? You could have been a lunch for a freaking lion. I'm picking you Wichita. Don't,
I want to live my life. You want to be coddled by the Wichita zookeepers.
Yeah. Especially if I'm an endangered species. Like, if I'm a polar bear, I would much rather be in a zoo than trying to find a seal going out on slippery ice. Like, yeah, no, I'm 100% pro.
Slippery ice. Like,
the ice is receding. I don't know if you know, Dan.
They're going to fall and like break their hip. They're a polar bear. This is what they're built for.
Polar bears are pro ice.
They're pro ice, but the ice is cracking and they can only swim.
Yeah, no, that's a problem.
They can only hold their breath for a minute and they can only swim down about 20 feet ish because they're covered.
That's a problem.
So let's say some aliens show up, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say some aliens show up and they want to capture some humans and put them in a zoo on their alien land. And so you get scooped up with like 39 other randos around the globe. And they throw you in I don't know what the zoo would look like. Like they try to make it like a big living room or something. You'd all be crapping next to each other and
get a TV.
You would be fine because you got like Buffalo Wild Wings twice a day.
You get
or
a TV and three squares a day?
Do they have a Pac-12 network?
No, of course not. Well, can't even get that in San Francisco.
Deal off.
You might as well be a Pac-12 employee just sitting around at home. And you'd someone go, well, this stinks. I want to be with my family and my friends. Or maybe the bad cable package. They probably don't even really have the cable. So you're just stuck like looking at something that looks like a TV, or you're watching alien TV you don't even understand.
Just Shawshank Redemption.
And aliens are coming by to gawk at you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. A bunch of snotty fourth graders like, to Flamingo, right?
Like my friend that punched the giraffe in seventh grade.
Yes, yeah. Pat had the guy who punched the giraffe. Idiot kids are punching you, alien kids. They just want dipping dots. They don't even want to see the animals. And you got to sit there and go, well, it's good because we raised awareness.
Yeah.
And you're fine with it.
100%. Yeah, if we're an endangered species, but we're not, we're doing okay.
Right now, sure. we are not subject to too many predators, I will say.
Putin.
I'll tell you stories about your Royal Oak Zoo sometime here, Dan. I guess we'll save that for another podcast.
Why, you been there?
No. But Aiden Hutchinson's dad works the ER near there and has sewn up some of the workers who have been mauled at your zoo.
Wow.
Yeah, that zoo's right down the end of my street here.
Yeah. He treated some dude who got like bit by a lion years ago. And then all the guy comes back and he's been mauled by an aardvark. Like the claws of the aardvark. And he's sewing him up for that. And then he's like asking him, hey, what are these other scars? He's like, oh, yeah, I got bit by a lion. He goes, oh, wait, I treated you.
A return patient.
Yeah.
That guy might not be good at his job.
Aardvarks they have big claws.
They got some claws on them.
Yeah. They got to get the little grubs and stuff and out of
they
trees.
Dig. They dig. Mm-hmm.
I might go down there and see if I can, you know, cut a little hole in the fence, see what happens. Aardvark. No, I don't need that. They run by my house or something.
Yeah. You're going to start jailbreaking.
Bring an aardvark home to your daughters. See how that
goes. Need someone on the outside, right? And I didn't know there was an aardvark down there.
There is. See, you got to go. Check out the zoo.
I'm a little nervous. All right. An aardvark. Well, congratulations, 492. We got a bunch of other stuff we didn't get to. I'm sure we can get to it next week. This podcast has clearly gone on long enough. As they always do.
Hey, everybody ordered Jersey Mike's today, by the way. All the proceeds go to Special Olympics today. So it including awesome. All of our St. Peter's basketball players, get on it. Even if there you don't like sandwiches.
Even if you don't like sandwiches. Doug Eddard, order a Jersey Mike's. Come on, man.
Talk to you all next week.